Be turning to John's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Hope, pray you'll keep your Bibles open a moment. I'm just going to read two key verses, but we'll draw some thoughts from this tremendous chapter. But again, good to be saved tonight. Good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Appreciate Brother David. Appreciate the church following his leadership and the desire for this meeting. Amen. In verse 21. I want to read the statement of Martha. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And then down in verse 32, I want to read in your hearing Mary's statement and Mary's evaluation. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You may be seated tonight. The Lord will honor the reading of His Word tonight. We don't have to ask Him to do that. He's going to do that whether or not you and I hear and listen to His Word or not. But I pray that He would open our ears and our hearts to His truth tonight. From this familiar 11th chapter of John, for just a few moments tonight, I want to magnify best I can an on-time God. A God that is on time. That doesn't always look like He's on time. In fact, to Mary and to Martha, it looked like He was anything but on time. But you can mark her down. He was on time before the chapter began. He's on time in the middle. He's on time and the end. And He's on time tonight. He is an on-time God. But you know, we read this chapter like we read the book of Job. And we know the ending. And we know the happy ending that comes. We read through Job and we know that God's going to again restore all that Job had seemingly lost. And we read the chapter and we know that the Lord is going to stand there at that tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth. But I would remind you that Mary and Martha did not know that. They did not know what in the world was going on. They didn't know why in the world is the Lord late. Why in the world is the Lord not here? But I'm here to tell you tonight, He's an on-time God even when it seems like He's not. But now I want you to know tonight, it's one thing to say that when everything's going well. It's one thing to say that when the bills are all paid and everybody's getting along. It's one thing to say that when you're not sick in body. I wasn't able to be here last night. I was at CMC down in Charlotte. We've got a man that's been taking him about 3 years to get on the liver transplant list. He's been on it for about a month. Got critically ill over the weekend and is back in CMC and they've taken him off the transplant list or put him on hold for just a moment there. I want you to know it's not easy to say and believe He's an on-time God when everything is going south. But here tonight, I pray the Holy Ghost would help us see He is just that regardless of what's going on in your world, in your life. But He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God when it appears. And I remind you, everything's not always as it appears. Everything's not always as it seems. But He's an on-time God when it seems like He's late. And that's what it seems like to Martha. That's what it seems like to Mary. And you notice in the text that it's Martha that's running out to meet the Lord. That's normally what Mary does. It's normally Mary running after the Lord. It's normally Mary found at His feet. It's normally Mary watching at His feet. But in the chapter, in verse 20, Mary is sitting in the house. Mary's not even going out the front door, getting off the front porch to meet the Lord. When the Lord does arrive in Bethany, oh my, she feels like He's late. She feels like He's too late. And she's hurt and she's confused. And it seemed like the Lord was late. I mean, Lazarus is now dead. And it seems like the Lord was faithful, was not faithful to show up at the right moment. I mean, they'd sent word to the Lord, and yes, I know it's so. They don't say, please come, but they just believed he'd come because he loved Lazarus so much, and he loved them so much. But Lazarus gets sicker and sicker and sicker, and Lazarus dies. From all earthly appearances, it looked like the Lord. It looked like the Lord was late. Martha goes to acting more like Mary in this chapter. And Martha does run out and meets the Lord in the middle of the road. But you notice the text we read a moment ago. She says, Lord, had you been here, my brother had not have died. Now I want you to know, she's exactly right. Because death cannot enter in when life is present. I want you to know, Lazarus could not have died. That thief could only have died after the Lord had given up the ghost. You know, everybody says Peter missed that night when he took out that sword and tried to lop off that fellow's head and just got his ear. That's all he could do. Why? The resurrection and the life was standing right there. They're right. He could not have died had the Lord been there. But the Lord wasn't there. And Lazarus died. In fact, it's not just that Jesus didn't come. He doesn't even come after he's died for 4 days. I mean, he's so late, he didn't come to visitation. He's so late. It's as if though Martha was saying, Lord, you're late. Lord, you couldn't even conduct the graveside service for Lord, why in the world are you so late? Now I don't know, maybe as it's coming out of Martha's lips, maybe as it's coming out of her mouth, she realizes momentarily who she's talking to. So she says something religious. She says to the Lord after that in verse 22, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. You say, why do you say that, religious preacher? It's because she didn't believe it. She didn't believe it now. Now, I'm not picking at Martha, because I'll be honest with you tonight. I sometimes say things because I know they're the right thing to say. But the truth is, I wonder, is it really going to work out? I wonder, is this really how the Lord is going to bring it to pass? I mean, sometimes we say things because we know we ought to say them. But the truth is, deep down, we really, really wonder, will he really, really get us through this? Will he really, really provide? Will he really, really meet this need? I mean, all of us, sometimes we think he's late. When he's not, why? Because he's an on-time. He's an on-time God. Oh, that. Now, I'll tell you that. Martha's just pouring out her heart, and Mary's just going to pour out her heart. And I'd encourage you to do that tonight. You can pour your heart out to him tonight. You can tell him how you feel tonight. I mean, after all, he knows how you feel tonight. But I want you to know, if you think he's late, you can tell him. It'll not put him off the throne. You can say, Lord, where in the world were you? Lord, why did you not show up? Lord, why has my marriage failed? Lord, why are my youngins in such a mess? You can tell him how you feel tonight, and it won't hurt his feelings or cause him to give you the cold shoulder, my friends. No. For he cares about you. He cares about you tonight. You say, well, preacher, how do you know she didn't believe? How do you know when she says here that, Lord, I know that thou can ask whatever thou askest, and God will. How do you know she doesn't really believe that? Well, they buried Lazarus. They didn't keep him laying around for the Lord to come. They decided the Lord wasn't coming. But they decided even if the Lord did show up, it was too late. Jewish tradition, now not the Bible, you hear me? Jewish tradition, they believed that the spirit of the soul of a person hung out over the body for about 3 days. I'd remind you in the text, the Holy Ghost never tells us anything just by accident. He tells us this has been the fourth day. They buried Lazarus because they believe the Lord's late. They believe the Lord cannot do it on that. But it's not just that they buried Lazarus is the reason I know she didn't believe it. Oh man, when the Lord stands right there in the middle of the road and says to her, I am the resurrection and the land. That's what he says in verse 26. He says, whosoever, Martha, stick your name right there. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Here's how I know she doesn't believe that. She changes the subject. In the next verse, she said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Oh my. She is so gripped by grief and sorrow and confusion. She thinks the Lord's not on time. But I'm here to tell you tonight, He's an on-time God, even when it seems like He's late. In fact, down in verse 39, when they get out there the tomb and the Lord says, roll away the stone, Martha says, no, Lord, he's stinking. He's stinking, Lord. We don't want to smell that. He's stinking. She was saying, it's too late. Now, I'm not throwing stones tonight. And you look real dignified and religious and sat like a knot on the log if you want to. But the truth is, we often believe he's late. Oh my, but he's an on-time God tonight. He's an on-time God when it seems like he's late. But he's an on-time God when it seems like he's early. When it seems like he's early. Say, what in the world do you mean, preacher? Jesus says, verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. She said, oh yes, Lord, I know. In that latter day, in that great resurrection, I know my brother's going to get up. Martha is thinking Jesus has gone from being late. Now he's early. Now he's way ahead of time. I got news for you tonight. He's never late and he's never early. He's always running right on time. Oh man. Oh my, she says, well, of course I know my brother's going to get up. I know my brother's going to get up in the great resurrection. She forgot what Christ could do that day. She forgot what Christ could do right then and there at that moment. Oh my, she had faith for the past. She had faith for the future, but she was lacking faith for the present. Oh, I wonder now, what's your faith for? What's your faith for? I got news for you. The past has done left the station. And the future may not get here for you and me. We better put our faith in Christ and in God tonight. And I got good news tonight. You can. Why? He's an on-time God. I tell you what she was doing. She was doing like I used to do. I used to like to take my brother's telescope. And I used to like to take it. And you know, you look through that little end. You look out there at the stars or a buzzard whale bear across the other side of the field. I used to like to take that thing and flip it around and look through the big end. And if you take and look through a telescope through the big end or a pair of binoculars through the big end, it looks like something that's real close. It looks like it's way out yonder. You know what? The world and the situations of life will pull that on us, and the devil will sure enough see that he pulls it on us, and we'll get to thinking, well, God used to do something way back down the road, and God will maybe do something way up the road, but here we are right now in this day and minute. We need to remember that he's an on-time God, not late, and he's not even early. But could I say to you right quick, he's an on-time God. Now, he's an on-time God when it seems like he's late, but things aren't always as it seems. He's an on-time God when it seems like he's early, but things aren't always as they seem. I want you to know he's an on-time God when he's not moving. He's an on-time God when he's not moving a step. I didn't say wasn't working. There's never a time he's not working. Oh, he's always working, but I got news for you tonight. He's not always moving. So you sure, preacher? Well, sure I am. I wouldn't have brought it up if I hadn't been sure. You want proof of it? It's right here. It's right here in the text. You know, it's amazing to have a Bible. That Bible tears up a lot of sermons and a lot of bad theology. I want you to know the messenger arrives and says unto the Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And the Lord hops up and the Lord runs right out after him back down to Bethany. Well, that's not even in the Living Bible. No. No. What's it say in verse 6? When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I got this much figured out. He did not move. He stayed right where he was. He doesn't follow after the messenger. He says, oh my, this will not be for death. This will not end up in death. No, this is going to be for the glory. This is going to be for the glory of God, as he says there in verse 4. As he converses with Martha, Martha runs back into the house. Martha goes back into the house to tell Mary that the Lord is calling for her. And Jesus runs right after Martha and follows Martha into the house to sit down with Mary and to hold Mary's hand. No, he doesn't get out of the middle of the road. Stays right, here it is. Stays right there in the middle of the street. When she had said so, she went away. That's Martha. Called Mary, your sister, secretly, saying, the master has come, and he calleth for thee. Now look at verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into town. But listen, was in that place where Martha met him. He meets Martha in the middle of the road and does not move. Oh my, I tell you, he's an on-time God tonight. Even when we don't see him moving, even when we do not see him moving and working the way we think he ought to work, even when we don't see him moving in the way we believe he ought to be moving, he is an on-time God. Oh my. Oh my, now, finally, Mary does go to acting like Mary. And Mary does get up. And Mary does run out. And Mary meets the Lord right there in the middle of the street. So why did she delay, preacher? Oh, remember, she's hurt. She's confused. She can't figure it out. Why in the world did he not come? Why in the world did he not speak a word? He had done that before. They knew he could just speak a word and take care of it. He didn't even really have to come. But surely he would have come. And when news came that Elijah was dead, surely he'd have put it in overdrive and got here for the service. But oh my, Mary is hurt, but she's now come. She's now come to the Lord. Or seeking help and encouragement from the Lord. But I want you to know, again, I'm not throwing rocks at Mary or Martha. Because, oh my, often just like them, when the Lord's not moving, the way we think he ought to be moving, we think he's late, we think he's forgotten, we think he's forsaken us. I'm going to tell you now, the water is not always trouble. There is not always a sound of going in the mulberry trees. I heard a black preacher say just the other day, he said, emotion without devotion is just a commotion. Emotion without devotion, it's just a commotion. And you see, we get real nervous. And if something ain't going on, we're going to make it go on. And if it doesn't look like God's moving in the service, we're going to make sure something does happen and something does move. Hey, I'll tell you now. Often when I'm making a radio tape, I say, cut your radio up. So cut your radio up right here. If you tell me God's always moving where you go to church, I'll look you square in the eye and say, you're amongst that which is false and not of God. Amen. You want some scripture? While Moses is on the mountain, alone and still with God, the people are at the foot of the mountain with a racket and with a noise. Where was God moving? He's on the mountain. Right with with his finger, writing the law of God. God wasn't even blessed, God, if you please, in the zip code of that crowd at the foot of the hill. Oh my, I want to tell you, we sometimes think, oh my, if God's not moving, we're going to have him out. Oh my God, help us to know he's an on-time God that doesn't have to have our help tonight. Oh my, it's hard. It's hard to say he's on time when we feel like he's late. It's hard to say he's on time when we feel like he's early. But let's be honest, it's real hard to say he's on time when it seems like he's not doing a thing. Oh my. So we want hypocrite. We want covered up. We think silence equals deadness and stillness equals deadness. I remind you, the book also says, be still and know I'm God. You say, you're not for preacher. You're not for shouting preacher. Oh, you didn't hear me say that. I'll shout right with you as long as God is in the midst. Oh my. But if God's not in the midst, it's not a shout. It's a holler. It's a racket that's not of God. Now, I didn't ask to preach tonight. I was asked. He's an on-time God. Regardless. Well, it seems that he's late or early. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. Oh, man. When he's not moving. But here's the good thing. Here's the good thing tonight. Because he's an on-time God, in spite of how things sometimes seem, because he's an on-time God, in spite of how at times he is not moving and he is not manifesting his presence in our midst. Oh my. If you and I will just wait before him, we'll get to see his glory and we'll get to see his power. In fact, that's what this whole chapter's all about. That's how come Lazarus was sick. That's how come Lazarus died. That's how come he did not move. Oh my. And sometimes I'm convinced he doesn't move in our services to get us desperate, to get us crying out to God, oh God, would you move one more time and come by one more time. When you and I wait before this God who is always on time, hang around on time, we'll see his glory, and on time we'll see his power. Oh man. I mean, listen, which is hard to heal somebody that's sick, or to raise somebody from the dead? Well, the answer is, bless God, neither are hard to the Lord. That's the answer. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead with just the word. Neither are hard unto the Lord. But so Martha and so Mary and a whole gang, and no doubt Baptists, if you please, that was looking on, and even Lazarus could know, I'm always on time, and I'm always about my Father's glory, and I'm always about doing my Father's will. Oh my, our Lord waits for the right moment to do that which He does. Oh my. You see, this is a mighty significant lesson that they needed to learn, because it's not going to be very long from this. It's really not going to be very long. In fact, I remind you, the Lord said something back in verse 15. He said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. See, the Lord knew just a little ways from now, they were going to be asked to believe he would be raised from the dead. Just a little ways from this point in time, they're going to be asked to believe that he can get up from the grave. I don't know what you may be going through tonight. It may seem like to you he's late. It may seem like to you he's early. It may seem like he's not doing anything, and he very well might not be moving on my, but don't forget, he is working. He is working. He is working, even when he is not moving. But on my, learn the lesson well, because no telling what you and I might be called upon to believe in the days that are ahead. Oh my. Now that's my introduction. Here's my message. What do you do? What do you do when it seems like, and it feels like, and it looks like he's not on time? I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to get it to you. Number one, you remember he is. When it looks like, seems like, feels like He's not on time, remember that He is. He's an on-time God, never late, never early. You think He's going to do something different in your world? You think He's going to do something different in your situation? No. Remember, remember, He's an on-time. He's an on-time God. After 2 days, He said, "Oh boy, let's get up, let's go. We've got to get down to Bethany." Thomas said, "Well, let's go die with Him. Let's go die with Him." Oh my, God had a plan. Now you listening? God had a time to work the plan. God had a time to work the plan. See, God not only does the right thing, He does it at the right time. See, we're so hard-headed, we often try to do the right thing at the wrong time. You can do the right thing in the wrong way, but you can do the right thing at the wrong time, and it'd be a big mess. He's the on-time God. Remember, He's always on time. He does the right thing at the right time. Number two, go to Him. He loves you. Oh my, the Word of God says it right. He loved Martha, and He loved Mary, and He loved Lazarus. I want you to know, when Martha runs out there and says, "Bless God, why were you not here? You're late." He doesn't rebuke her. Oh, when Mary says, "Lord, if you'd just been here, if you'd just been here," He doesn't say, "Well, I knew you didn't have faith. I knew they wouldn't miss you." No, no, no. He just loves on them. And here tonight, regardless of how things are, or regardless of how things seem to you tonight, He does love you. Go to Him. He loves you tonight. Number three, and I'm done. Go with Him and do what He says. Go with Him and do what He says. I can't preach it. He says, "Where have you laid Him? Show me where you've laid Him." And then when they show Him where they have laid Him, He says, move away. That's roll away the stone. Go with Him. Obey Him. Go with Him. Obey Him. Even when it doesn't make a lick of sense. Because on time, He will say, "Lazarus, come forth." That lost person you used to pray for, but you done forget, you done give up on. That need you figure, "Oh, it'll never come to pass." You just hang with the God who's the on-time God. Run to Him. Let Him love on you. You listen to Him. You go with it. You obey and do whatever He says do. And before you know it, but it certainly will be on time, He will say, "Come forth." He's an on-time God. That's the message, Brother David.